We're going to talk about this week about what I call chaos theory. And so basically, you need to be able to go into your submarket or niche and make a splash. And it doesn't matter how new you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You ought to always be able to turn the situation in your market or niche or your small sub-niche in your favor. And sometimes these things work out so that some of the attention that you're getting may be favorable or unfavorable, but you are going to be able to use chaos theory to your advantage. And you want to be able to make a splash. And anybody can do this. So please do not feel like, well, I'm new and I'm not really getting started. I'm not really established. That's exactly who needs to do this, and that's why it's chaos theory. We're going to shake up your sub-niche with a series of summits or mini summits and master classes. And the summit or master class strategy, you have to understand this, and you have to believe me when I tell you this. The key to this is really you do this before you have standing. So we're not talking about doing this as a person who is large or somebody who's taken up a lot of space and somebody who's well established. In fact, you should be doing this when you're not established. This is a way to become one of the players, and you do this by really basically causing some chaos in your market or sub-niche, and you do that with this masterclass strategy. And this is one of the first or the few times that you want to be the first to do something. Typically, I would say that it's not necessarily all that important that you be the first, but you've got to find a way to define your topic or your sub-niche into something that's close to your market or close to your USP and be the first to do this with a masterclass or a summit. So you've got to narrow down the topic and the sub-niche, and you've got to get it as close to your USP as you can. But if you can't get it any closer than one particular way, don't not do this. So basically, go into your submarket, go into your sub-niche, and master and really design a masterclass or a summit. You don't have to call it a virtual summit. That's an overused term right now because most people, they get anxious about, well, I don't want to do, you know, a big virtual summit. I'm not the person. And that I find that kind of gets in people's way. I like the idea of communicating a masterclass because it's basically the same thing. It doesn't matter what you call it. So you don't even have to call it a virtual summit if you don't want to. I like to call it a masterclass or an online treat. You can call it whatever you want. As long as it communicates the concept that people are going to hear multiple speakers, they're going to hear it on one really small and really focused topic. And you're doing everything you can, you know, to basically build an audience for your network to take advantage of. So that's what you're trying to do with this strategy. Everything else is secondary. You are using this strategy to serve the people that are influencers in your sub-niche. So that's why we do it. So again, if you define that as your topic, I mean, if you define that as your goal, you cannot help but be successful. Now, again, you're going to take a lot of time, it's going to take a lot of energy, but the reason you're doing this is you are serving the people that you want to become part of your massive network. And so that's why this cannot fail. Even if you have two people that are going to be speakers at your summit, and let's say 10 people attend, it does not matter. You are serving the interest of of the influencers in your market or niche. And once you do this one time, you're going to figure out that this is something that anytime you want to get some activity going, you can pull this out of your pocket. You can do this at any time, and you can prime the pump in order to get some activity going. You can always do this. And all you've got to do is you've got to go through the process once. And once you go through the process once, you'll figure out, you know what, I can do this anytime, at any time. You don't have to say, it doesn't have to be annually, it doesn't have to be quarterly. It can be twice in a quarter if you want to do it. What are you doing? One of the first things you've got to do before you do something like this, and there is some groundwork you do need to lay, and you need to start laying this groundwork now. You've got to start building out your search profile and your online reputation. And if you haven't done that, you've got to start looking at yourself. You've got to Bing yourself. You've got to Google yourself. And you've got to see, when it comes to your USP, are you even on the map? And if you're not on the map, you've got to get on the map when it comes to your USP. And so when you start reaching out to potential speakers, what's going to happen is they're going to search for you on their favorite search engine. And you need to have a profile that makes it clear that you even have the ability or the passion for the topic and you have some momentum in that area. And so what you got to do right now is you've got to start making sure there's content available about you on your USP or the potential topic for your summit or your masterclass that's going to be visible online. And when we start talking about content, we mean videos. As of this moment, that means YouTube. You need to have some YouTube videos on your USP. You need to have some blog posts. And I'm not saying you have to become a full-fledged blogger, but you need to have content that is text in nature that's available. You need to have some audio content. Again, you don't have to be a podcaster. That's not what I'm saying, but you should have some podcast content that people can listen to. All this does is it strengthens your online reputation when people go and they Google you and they're going to start looking, does this person have the chops to talk about a subject? So this is something that anyone can do. Your topic should be available about you on social media. You should have some pages, web pages with content, right? Social media pages. You should have some social media groups with content on the subject matter. You should have your profile. And again, it doesn't matter how you're using your profile on places like Facebook and other social networks. People are going to look for you and they're going to try to figure out, are you the person that can talk about this? And you should be able to reasonably see by looking at your profiles, yes, you are the person that can dial up on this subject. And again, I mean, the easiest way to kind of track on this stuff is to do your weekly workshop. If you're doing a weekly workshop, you will have no problem putting content and making that content available in all of the social networks and making sure it's going to be out there. So it really does come back to doing some of the fundamentals we've been talking about in this series. You should be doing a weekly workshop. That's going to be your content. You don't need any other content. You don't need to create any other content if you're doing a weekly workshop. Also, though, you can be and should be doing interviews with people in your sub-niche. And this is something that if you haven't started doing, you can and should start doing almost immediately in order to start building this massive network. Why are we doing this? Remember, are we doing this necessarily to sell things? Eventually. But we're doing all this so we can serve our network. So you might be thinking, Charles, or you might be thinking, I do not want to start a podcast, right? That could be your mindset right now, and you'd be justified. It's a lot of work. You could be saying, I do not want to start an interview show. I don't have all this stuff to do it on YouTube. I don't want to do that. You'd be justified in feeling like that. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of thankless work, and it may or may not monetize. But when you start talking about getting to know the people that are going to be part of your Dream 100 and giving a way that you can serve them, you can start an interview show, right? You can start an interview practice is what I like to call it, because you don't have to then be bound to a particular time. It's not going to be a series. You don't have to be there at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day or whatever you're doing. All you've got to do is you've got to commit to interviewing the people in your sub-niche. Now, you're going to need to start laying the groundwork for the summit or the masterclass by starting to do some of these interviews. And it's much easier than you think that it's going to be. And you really should be publishing this kind of content on a weekly basis if you can. Now, when you first get started, it's going to be a little weird, and it's going to take some getting used to, and it's also going to take you out of your routine. It's also going to take you out of production mode because you got to put this into your production mode. However, remember, what are we trying to do when we build a network? We're trying to build a network of partners, trying to build a network of affiliates. We're trying to build a network of people that when you call on them to promote your product, or when you call on them to do something, they just automatically say yes because you know them or they know you. And again, I mean, this is something that you may feel uncomfortable in doing, but you don't have to be great with the interview. I'll get to that in a minute. Now, what I will say is don't go looking for generic guests. You don't need Oprah. right? That's not important. What's important, you use the people in your Dream 100. So whatever you did to do your Dream 100 from session 5, where you named and kind of narrowed down the people that are going to be able to bring you the most power with contacting them, those are going to be the people that you want to start bringing into a particular way for you to be able to showcase who they are and their knowledge on your topic. Now, if you do not want to do multimedia interviews, you don't want to do audio interviews, you don't want to do video interviews, perfectly understandable. Send people a list of questions and let them write their answers. Right? That's really simple. And be creative with that. Right? Find a way to be creative to get people on the record. Again, the most important thing is that you make it easy for them. Typically, an audio interview is going to be the easiest for them to do because they don't have to think about writing. All they got to do is talk into their phone. Right? You can do that in any number of ways. But if you can't do that because you don't feel comfortable with your ability to interview people, then write down your questions and send it to people. And ask them when they have time. And really and truly, you know what you could do? You can then tell them that they can record their answers by audio. Right? Very easy to do. You don't have to be, you know, the interviewer. If you don't want to, you can do all of this and set it up so that you do a little bit of work and have them do a little bit of work right back to you. Now, you're going to have their responses transcribed, but that's very easy to do. Make sure you keyword optimize when you publish this content, right? And again, that's going to be easy if it's going to be a blog. It's going to be easy if it's going to be YouTube. Might be a little difficult if it's a podcast, but it's doable. And then ask your guests very kindly to share the episode when it's ready. Now, again, if they decide they don't want to do it, and that's not what they want to do, that's fine, right? They've helped you to create the content. That's fantastic. You've got enough to work with if they decide to do that. Now, you want to make sure you're doing this around different topics. And when I say this, you do not have to do and you may have seen these massive, you know, 3-day, 4-day, 350 people on the summit. You don't have to do that. And that's why I like to call it a masterclass, because you're not doing this big, huge group and you're going to use the same business model, because you're not. Do smaller 4-5 speaker events around specific topics and themes, right? Very, very simple to do. And then what you want to do when you're doing these things is to develop a template. So that, again, you need to do these multiple times, but all you're really going to do is go back to just change the titles, change everything around to do your next summit. So when you're doing this, you're developing a template for future summits. What you're doing when you do this is you are pulling yourself into becoming a media person. So even if you're going to be selling person, you are making yourself, and this is why it's chaos theory. Because while you're selling in your niche, what you're basically doing is becoming the media person in your sub niche, and you can do this, and you don't have to do a podcast if you do this. So it's kind of difficult sometimes to commit to being a podcaster, and that sometimes it complicates your business model. It complicates getting into production mode to produce products that people are going to sell. But you can do a summit, because the summit itself is going to be monetizable. We're doing this not only as a way to serve our audience, I mean, to serve our network, but we're also doing it to monetize. We'll get to that here in a minute. You want to always structure your offer, right? The offer for people to come to the summit. And you want to leverage the interviews, right? So again, remember, you should have content by doing your weekly workshop, but you're also going to have content with these interviews. Let's talk about that. You should be using this to build your list. And that's another reason why this is chaos theory, is because what you're basically doing is you're leveraging the success of other people in order to get access to their audience. Now, some of the summit is going to be content. Right? Some of the summit is going to be for list building. Some of the summit is going to be for monetization. Those are the three levels you're going to be operating on with this content. And you need to incentivize each level of this process. so that it becomes systematically profit, right? You've got to systematize each one of these things. And again, why are we doing this? We're doing this to serve our guests. It's an excuse to serve our guests. Let me give you an example of this. So basically, let's say that what you want to do is you want to make it content. So you're doing these interviews, you want it to be content. You split the interview so that some remain shareable on social media and some goes into your marketing funnel. That's one reason. Second reason, you want to make the event free so people can opt in, right? You use it also to build your list. Same interview, right? Same content. We're using it to build our list. We make the recordings, so we make the recordings access on a paid level so that people who want to have the sessions, they pay for it. Right, so again, we're not doing this as charity. We're doing this for two reasons. For three reasons. Content, check. List building, check. Monetizing, check. Each one of these are necessary for you to be able to make this worth your time. Now, you've got to make sure the content is going to be shareable. So in other words, you got to make sure it's good enough so the interviewee wants to share it. You've got to make sure that it's attractive enough to the people attending that they want to opt in. And you've got to make it necessary for the buyer. So in other words, you've got to make it so that when the buyer sees the offer you put before them, they say, no brainer, I'm getting this. Right? I may not have time to attend all these sessions. Now, here's what I'll say about this. You establish the groundwork for this by doing interviews before you even do the summit. And this is why I say you've got to be setting the groundwork now. Right, you start by interviewing people now and creating outstanding content with, you know, these people in your sub niche, so that when it comes time for you to do the summit, people will not think twice about coming. Now, let's talk about monetization. Lots of ways to monetize this. Your masterclass, sell the recordings, right, in a private member area. Sell products to the attendees, your products. Sell as an affiliate of the presenters. So, in other words, find affiliates and have an affiliate product, become their affiliate, make sure those are going to be the links inside of your member area, right, or your summit area. Sell sponsorship to people who want access to your audience. Create a product of the summit after the summit, right? Sell content to content creators. So in other words, you can take that summit, it's expert content, and what you can do is you can make it, give people rights to use the content, right? Give people rights to the transcript. It's a little niche to do that, but you can do that in order to monetize it. You can make sure, now when you do multiple summits, what you can do is you can say, hey, you know what, we've got a summit coming up in 2 months. If you want to get that summit now, purchase it now, right? Prepay, get people to prepay. And this is one thing that I've seen done. It's really cool and it's something you can do. You can have your speaker, right? If you know they're going to be good, you know they're going to be a draw, and you know they're super good, you can say, hey, we're going to do an intensive session, and if you want that session, you can pay more for that session. In other words, it's going to be after the summit's over. Now, let's say that, you know, nobody comes, right? You do this in session. Well, what you do is you roll that session up into a launch, you add some stuff to it, and then you launch it as a product. So, you know, if you think, oh man, you know, I don't want to do this because I don't want to be embarrassed and nobody comes. Don't worry about that. Set it up so that it becomes a partnered product with the speaker, and then mail it out, you know, make it available. And then listen, ask the speaker if they would then mail it to their list. Right? Because again, they're going to make money by you selling it as a product anyway. If you go through these steps, there's no way you can't be, right, you can't build your list by doing these things. There's no way you can't. There's no way for you possible. I can't see how. Let's say that, right? There, you know, there's a way not to do anything, right? I don't see how you don't benefit from the effort of doing this. Because again, why are you doing it? You're doing it to serve the interests of the massive network you were trying to build. Monetization is great. It is secondary to you serving your network. And so if you do this with that in mind, I am serving my network to build connections with them, to build relationships with them, so that when I call upon them to do something, they're going to say yes. Okay? All right, so any questions? Any questions about the process? Any questions?